Sir Winston Churchill was a man who had many talents. He was, of course, a politician, one who could recover himself quite nicely. He was a journalist, he was an artist, and he was also a bit of a historian. He wrote several books of history, which, while not everybody would agree with his interpretation, were respected as serious works. One of those books covers the period from the end of the First World War to the early years of the Second World War. And whenever he went to give it a title, he called it The Gathering Storm. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that I've ever read this book, because I haven't. But the title kind of captured me a little bit. And especially in recent months and years, as we listen to the news and so much is happening and so much disastrous is happening, the gathering storm kept coming into my mind. Are we entering a gathering storm? And if so, what do we do about it? Whenever we look around, it's difficult to turn on the news these days and not hear something about a war somewhere. Maybe Ukraine, maybe Afghanistan, maybe Sudan, maybe so many. And there are so many others that we don't even know are happening. There is trouble, there is war, there is an inability for people to live together in harmony. And then more close to home in the last year or so, how often have we heard about the credit crisis, the inability for people to really care for themselves and for their families because the economic situation is so dire. We may, I suppose, be reasonably comfortably off, but that is not true for everyone. Some people find their electricity cut off and they don't know how to feed themselves or their families. They don't know how to heat the house. And of course, underlying it all, we keep being reminded of the climate crisis and our inability to share what we have equitably in our world. The gathering storm, maybe it's already beginning to rage around us. You know the way you can look out to sea and you see the storm clouds coming in. What are we to do? How do we navigate the stormy weather, the stormy conditions that seem to surround us today, wherever we look? What are we to do about it? Where are those points of certainty, of security, by which we navigate the storm? The psalmists, they had no doubts. They lived in troubling times. They often were fearful for their lives. And yet they knew that there were certain points of absolute confidence and security. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We so often turn to those words in times of trouble. Where the psalmist in Psalm 46, God is our shelter and strength. We will not be afraid, even if the earth shakes. We will fear no evil. God is an ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist always knew that whatever life was like around them, they could turn to a faithful God who would not fail them. Sometimes I think today we tend to forget that. We tend to be so absorbed by the news bulletins and the reports that we receive. And social media doesn't make it any better. They keep crowding in on us. We surely need to take the time, and Sunday morning is a good time, to remind ourselves that there is one person alone who controls this world. One person alone who has the strength to carry us through all the trouble we face, whether it's trouble in our personal lives, in our family life, or trouble on a world scale. And that person is our faithful God, our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. So if we're going to navigate the storm, what do we need to remind ourselves? Because Jesus, as always, prepared his followers for the storms of life. And he was preparing them in that passage we read from the Sermon on the Mount. How to live through the storms, you might say. And the first little nugget of truth that Jesus gave them was this: to know to whom we belong. We are God's people. We talked about that last week. We belong to him. He created us. He loved us. He sent his son to die for us. He redeemed us. We are his and we belong to him, the people of God. And so we must not allow ourselves to be distracted by other things, however important they may seem, however attractive at times they may seem. They will not keep us secure. Our security is in knowing that we belong to God. We have been bought by the death of Jesus. We have been redeemed by the death of Jesus. And so when we follow him, when we offer ourselves to him in obedience, we can know that we are secure. No one can serve two masters, he said. You will either love the one and hate the other, or the other way around. You cannot serve God and money, is the translation that seems to be in vogue these days. It's not a very good translation. If you go back to the old times, you'll remember the word mammon. Nobody knows what mammon is. It's more than just our money. It's whatever captures our attention, whatever we are devoted to. We can either be devoted to God or we can be devoted to other things which seem to matter for a time, but will never ultimately satisfy. Do we rely on our own ability, or do we rely on the God, the Savior, who came for us? We need to know with absolute certainty to whom it is we belong. I often hear people today kind of upset that the church and Christian standards do not seem to be as widespreadly, as accepted widespread, as they used to be. And I can understand why people feel that way. But perhaps what is happening today is that we're actually having to make a choice. We cannot simply acknowledge Jesus quietly in church or wherever we are and assume that there is enough Christian teaching out in the world for us not to be too challenged out there. Nowadays, if we are accepting Christian principles, we will be challenged. We will be asked why we do these things our way. But that is an opportunity to say to the world, we do it because we belong to someone greater than this world. It's an opportunity for us to sort out in our own minds who it is to whom we belong. And the second thing Jesus told these people sitting around him on the grass was, no, who really cares for you? Who really cares? Not the people that seem to care, but who it is who really cares for you and has the ability to care every day without fail, whatever is happening around us. He cares. Look at the birds of the air, he said. They're very small, they're very fragile looking. But God cares for them. How much more will he care for you? I read a while ago about a bird. It was called a bar-tailed godwit, or goodwit, or godwit, I think. Something like that. It flew non-stop from Alaska to New Zealand, 7,850 miles. Took it 11 days. Didn't stop for food, didn't stop to rest. A fragile little bird could do that. And God cared for it along the way. How much more does he care for us? See how the lilies of the field grow, said Jesus. Look out around you, especially in the summertime. We're reinventing the idea of wildflower meadows. And they're beautiful when you see them. The yellows and the reds, the blues, all mixed up through the grass, of course. See how those flowers grow, the lilies of the field. God cares for them. Will he not care for you? We need to know who it is that really cares for us, that cares deeply so much that he sent his son to give his life for us. God is the one who cares. And if we are to be secure in life, in the storms of life, we need to know that there's someone there caring for us every day, whatever happens around us. And then finally, know who holds the future. We sometimes try to create security for ourselves by all kinds of policies and putting money certain places and making sure that our family is cared for. And all of that stuff is important. Of course it is. We shouldn't be cavalier about it. But know who really holds the future. Know who can take us through our lives successfully and will not allow us to fail. Don't worry about tomorrow, Jesus said. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He didn't, of course, mean that we shouldn't have concerns about where we were going. It's inevitable, and it would be foolish not to make plans, but know that everything is in God's hands. We don't need to worry. Fiona will be smiling because some people are just worriers in life, and I'm one of them, I have to admit. I worry about everything, and whenever I'm not worried about something, I'm worried that there must be something I've missed that I should worry about. But that's not the way we should live as Christian people. We should be able to recognize that in God's hands, we need not fear. He holds the future. And we can look forward, as in the book of Revelation, to that day when there will be a great feast of triumph, of celebration, as God brings his people together, having passed through every storm. So don't worry. Know who holds the future. Know who really cares for you. Know to whom we belong. And rejoice. You remember the old chorus we used to sing? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen.